All right, back on this Wednesday evening, former Dolphin O.J. McDuffie is here. John Congemi is here. We're now joined in studio by our buddy Jeff Darlington of NFL Network and NFL.com. Really nice story by Jeff today on NFL.com about the makeover of the Miami Dolphins. And he's not talking about the logo or the uniforms. He's talking about the roster. And that's obviously the most important thing when all is said and done. I liked it. The theme was that all the cosmetic changes that have taken place are just that. They're cosmetic changes, and it really is about the team and Jeff Ireland and Joe Philbin.
But I think changes are being made there, too, and that's, I guess, the point, is that, yes, there is rebranding going on, but it's also happening on the field. And I think that we've seen sort of, and whether or not all of those decisions actually play out in the Dolphins' favor, Jake Long going to St. Louis, letting that happen is one that could sneak up on them, replacing Sean Smith with Brent Grimes. I like that move, but that's another kind of bold move. But I just think that Philbin and Ireland have made very bold decisions this offseason. And whatever the reason is, whether it's to sell tickets, whether it's to save jobs, or whether it really is to win football games, and I generally believe that is the case.
Well, winning football games does both of those
things. It does both, but you know, sometimes when you're thinking much longer term, mm-hmm. you're not thinking in terms of, when you're trying to save your job, you might be more willing to spend whatever you need to spend to get Mike Wallace. Now, I personally don't think that that's the case here, but that's a conspiracy theory that's out there. And if that is the case, if that is deep down the truth, fine, so be it. Whatever it takes to make the bold moves that have been made, the Dolphins seem to be doing it. I personally think that it's a maturation process on Jeff Ireland's part.
We know, Jeff, it seems like, I mean, you tell me if I'm wrong here, but it seems like a lot of times when new coaches and new regimes come in, you know, it seems to be a lot of turnover personnel.
Yeah, right.
And it doesn't seem like to be, you know, right. the old team's guys, the old coaches' guys don't seem sometimes to fit with the new coaches' guys.
Right, and that has happened in some small instances. We saw it with Brandon Marshall. I mean, no more clearly did we see it than we saw it with Brandon Marshall. When he came in, it was on Joe Philbin's agenda to make sure that he had guys in his locker room that he believed were buying into his system, and Brandon Marshall was not one of those guys. That's a matter of fact. Now, I think when we do look at this, I think that the synergy between Ireland and Philbin has been particularly impressive. I think these guys really do fit well together, and that's something that I've talked to players about. The one thing that I've talked to players just this past weekend about, the one thing that they really preach is the consistency, all of the things that are coming from Philbin, consistency being the biggest one. These guys are really buying into what he's selling, and I think that that's a result of everything that's happening around this building.
And I think that's what Joe Philbin brings. That's his greatest strength that he brought from Green Bay and all his experiences, is that works. You know, mm-hmm. that works for winning organizations, for where the Miami Dolphins are and where they want to get to. You have to have a stable front office, not even front office. You have to have a stable head coach, because he's the guy that the players are looking to. And that's where they're getting their message. And I think that's what Joe Philbin, quite frankly, his biggest strength.
Yeah. I mean, I think that what we're seeing is a coming of age a little bit with Ireland, too, in terms of his ability as a general manager. And the comparison I always make is to anything that we do. I think I've even maybe used this comparison on the show. Any job. Look at any job in America. I guarantee we go back and listen to Jesse on his first day on this show, and he sounds, it'd probably be pretty amusing, actually, Jesse. But I think that you grow, you mature, you get so much better in your role, and I think that Jeff Ireland is no different. He's making decisions with more command now, with more decisiveness, and with a better understanding of how something is going to impact his roster.
Absolutely. Jeff Darlington is here. He's on Twitter, of course, at Jeff Darlington. You wrote in your story on NFL.com today that sacks, interceptions, and weapons for Tannehill were the three big deficiencies last year. And as you wrote, they addressed all that, which
is
nice.
And that's not my scouting report, because we all know that I'm no scout, nor am I a coach. I don't know anything really about football at all. I just pretend to.
Oh, you do a good job.
But seriously, I'm a reporter. I mean, my job is to give you facts, and that is what the team believes. The team believes they didn't have enough sacks. They dropped too many interceptions. Last year, they did not have enough weapons for big explosive plays. They had to be too perfect on offense and sustain these long drives with a lot of plays in order to succeed. Those are three major factors that contributed to a mediocre season last year. So that is what they came into this offseason trying to do. They got Mike Wallace. Sean Smith was a huge contributor to the dropped interceptions, despite his skill set otherwise. They believe that they are improving those areas. Whether they did enough, We're going to find out. But they did make moves to try to improve those areas.
There's been a lot of debate on this team about the running back position. How I know they love Lamar Miller. Right. We go get Mike Gillislee. We've got, you know, Jonas, a couple of guys that from last year, Daniel Thomas. And people been debating on how much time Mike Gillislee might get with this team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Gator, so I'm going to roll with that mm-hmm. one. But, no, I actually really like Lamar Miller, too. And I think who is a Kane?
Yeah.
Hey, you know what, though? Honestly, as joking aside, like, homegrown talent is a good thing.
Absolutely.
We're seeing these
fans
guys
love it. Everybody else is winning with them.
We're seeing these players go elsewhere and win games with all these other teams. Keep them in your backyard. And we're seeing that a little bit this year with that splurge of Gators later in the rounds. But we'll see about Gillislee. I think those guys generally, they come out in the wash pretty quickly. We'll find out. Whether Daniel Thomas is another guy I actually think is pretty promising if he can stay healthy and hold on to the ball. And those are two, the fifths were fifths.
We just talked an awful lot about that. Biggest offseason move for the Miami Dolphins in free agency and the draft and everything is
Mike Wallace.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no question. I love the boldness that Ireland had to go up and get that guy in Deion Jordan. The move that he made, even though they liked Tavon Austin, to get up there. And when they couldn't get Austin, to go up and get Deion Jordan. Big move, but Mike Wallace is still the difference maker.
I want to get your take. We talked about this in the first hour, about the room for growth for Ryan Tannehill compared to some of the other rookie quarterbacks that had a high bar level, I guess, in their rookie years last year. You look at RG3 and all the things he was able to do for Washington. Andrew Luck, everybody thought he was going to be great, and he progressively got there, you know, and got better as the season went on. Russell Wilson, I felt like he was the best guy at the Senior Bowl last year. You know, Seattle takes a flyer, and he becomes their guy and plays terrific football. I just felt that Ryan Tannehill, in year two, looking ahead, he's got the most room for growth because he didn't, as I said, he didn't ace it last year, but he's got so much room with better skill set around him that I think his potential for growth is probably greater than some of those
guys. Yeah, and I know Mike Sherman made that comment that Ryan Tannehill...
That aside.
Not exactly going out on a limb there.
Right.
I mean, Tannehill should, and they hope, will be the most improved quarterback next year of those that rookie class. But, I mean, when you take out... It's such an absurd rookie class that you look at. I mean, when you take out Luck and RG3 and just put in Russell Wilson and just put Ryan Tannehill... Just remove all of that and just put your blinders on and look at what Tannehill did. That's a good year for a rookie quarterback. I mean, a really good year.
Well, think about this year, what it's going to end up being.
No, I know. Exactly. Yeah. You look at the Russell Wilson and Kaepernick, too. I kind of lumped that group.
Yeah.
Cam Newton. I was just doing that interview yesterday with him in Charlotte. And I said, all I'm hearing about is RG3, Kaepernick, Russell Wilson. Do you feel forgotten? I mean, you're 2 years removed from the greatest rookie season to that point. And we're not even talking about Cam Newton. So I think that Tannehill has a tremendous amount of growth ahead of him, and I've seen a maturation process with him, too. He is comfortable with the players in this locker room. He's becoming a leader. He's a guy who will be voted a captain of this team, not just because it's a default situation, but because they really are starting to look at him like a leader of this team.
Not entirely ready to say yet, but going to be very soon that this is Ryan Tannehill's team. It's only a matter of time.
Forget it. This is Ryan Tannehill's team.
There you go.
Right now, this is Ryan Tannehill's team.
All right,
there's
Sean,
no question in my mind.
Sean, write the blog. It's according to Jeff Darlington of NFL Network, it is Ryan Tannehill's team.
That means what?
Exactly. But you were talking about, you know, the quarterbacks, and we had this conversation earlier in the show. To me, it's one of the great storylines heading into the 2013 season, all of these second-year quarterbacks and trying to avoid the slow start that Cam Newton had last year, the so-called sophomore slump. And there are so many guys. It's going to be fun to watch and see if they can all kind of keep it going.
Who shakes out? And I mean, personally, I want to see Robert Griffin III just be the man. And whether that's in the fourth week, I mean, I've told him personally, come back in the fifth week. Wait till after that bye. Like, don't rush back. Come back after that. You guys can come back 2-2, come out of the bye. You're completely healthy, ready to go, and take this team to the playoffs. Because I want to see that guy be a star in this league for years and years and years, and I think he's got the ability to do it.
And you look at some of those guys. I mean, you look at Russell Wilson; he can really fall back. They've got a great defense.
Yeah,
whereas RG3 and Luck and Tannehill probably for some little bit too would have to pretty much carry their team as quarterback.
Yeah, and you look at like Cam Newton too. Like, why is he forgotten? Well, I mean, the fact that Russell Wilson, RG3, Andrew Luck, Colin Kaepernick, what do those guys have in common?
Playoffs.
They were all in the playoffs.
Right.
I mean, they had teams around them too that were doing a really good job. Now, not taking anything away from them. And it's the same situation with Tannehill. He's got a solid defense there. He's got the weapon in Mike Wallace now. He's got Hartline feeling good about his situation. I think that this is his team.